Welcome to Sands, episode number 13. I'm Jared Reimer, and this episode will cover the Sands News Bites. I think this is actually going to work out a lot better because I realized that last episode was 28 minutes alone, and seeing that it is now a day after I recorded 12 and I finally got the braille ready, I think it's better we do this. And based on my initial feedback that I asked for, that shall be the order. Ouch is a once a month newsletter and usually comes out at the beginning of the month at some point, while Sands News Bites is a twice a week newsletter, and we try to release those as quickly as we can. So I am going to now go through and let you all know that the opinions here are expressly mine. I did take a couple of the editorial comments by quoting a couple and paraphrasing at least one to help generate the discussion. And of course, you are welcome to leave your feedback by email or iMessage. And that will be TECH at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And you may also go ahead and call the comment line at 888-405-7524 and let me know what you think. And if you want your comments aired, we can easily do that. So, let's go ahead and get started with the coverage of the May 2nd newsletter, which does cover some breaches, some vulnerability news, and even more. This is Sands News Bites, annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. May 2nd, 2025, Volume 28, Number 34. Here is the table of contents for this episode of the program, and which we will be talking about with regards to the newsletter. Top of the news. Kinitsu World Express recovering from ransomware attack. Ascension patient data breached through former business associates. Tech companies publish draft open EOX framework. Here is the rest of the week's news. ICO will not investigate British Libraries 2023 ransomware attack. Apple AirPlay devices vulnerable to zero-click RCE. Windows Remote Desktop Protocol is designed to accept old passwords. Sissa adds flaws to Kev from Broadcom? Brocade Fabric OS. Qualita Active Mail and Commvault Web Servers. And by the way, this is active with an exclamation point, and that's how it's written. Older Sonic Wall vulnerabilities are being actively exploited. And two more British retailers targeted by attempted cyber attacks. And if that wasn't enough, the final item here is Chrome and Firefox updates address multiple vulnerabilities. So, that's the table of contents. And we're going to go in the order that this newsletter is going in, as we always have. And again, I'll put in my comments where appropriate. And of course, as I stated, I did take several of the comments from the editorial team and made it known where I've done it. And there are more than likely reasons why I've done that, and you'll see why later. So here we go with top of the news. When we're going to start with Kinitsu World Express recovering from ransomware attack. Following a cyber attack discovered April 23rd, 2025, Japanese freight logistics company Kinitsu World Express, KWE, has continued to update a customer notice for service disruptions page on their website, posting a separate update on April 28th, identifying the incident as a ransomware attack. The company described the impact as ongoing server failure, stating that the system had not recovered and operations were still affected. KWE has established an emergency response headquarters, has notified the Japanese police, and is working with external professionals to investigate the scope and cause of the incident. An April 30th update states that most systems are now fully functional, while the company remediates and recovers systems simultaneously, conducting a comprehensive environmental assessment and collaborating with external IT partners to enhance their environment using industry standard cybersecurity solutions. Investigation is ongoing, and customers will be immediately notified if their data have been impacted. So, I will comment first by saying this is exactly what we need. This is exactly what we need in these types of situations. Constant updates. And that is a good thing. Customers will appreciate the fact that While there was a severe incident, and I would call ransomware severe, the fact that they are going ahead and updating a page that anyone can access is the best thing you can do, in my opinion. While the incidents that I have covered on the Security Box and my own technology podcast through the years have never involved ransomware, I have always come out and published a blog post or talked about the story in a podcast. In recent times, I have published a blog post. The blog posts were what I would call post-mortem reports, and this is really a security standard when it comes to incident mitigation. Now, let's read the next paragraph as we turn to the next page. And this is very interesting because as I was reading the commentary, we find out that this isn't the first incident at this company. I wrote, according to one editor, they had a breach in 2024. The question is, what did they miss? Editor Neely wrote, in April of 2024, the threat actor 888 compromised KWE, releasing names, emails, location, and countries of 819 of their clients. The question is, what was overlooked in the remediation process a year ago? Again, the question was, what was overlooked in the remediation process a year ago? Make sure you're looking at your entire security posture, not just affected systems. Consistent security, such as MFA, across all systems, not only keeps the bar high, but also avoids having a weak link. Have a conversation about entry points and trust relationships and how they can be better secured. And I'd say this is really why I want to include the commentary, because it could have other pieces of information we don't know about. So you're gonna want to keep this in mind if there are other issues that is not known to you during the breach. Go back, make sure everything is as good as it possibly can be, because you want to try and make sure that you are avoiding this type of issue again, not continue to be in the headlines. All right, folks, let's go ahead and move along. Our next item is Ascension, and the news this time probably isn't going to be very surprising to some. Ascension patient data breached through former business associates. So, Ascension Healthcare, which operates 142 hospitals across the U.S., has begun notifying patients of a third-party breach that compromised their personal and health information. According to a breach notification sent to patients, Ascension learned of the incident in early December 2024. A subsequent investigation found that Ascension inadvertently disclosed information to a former business partner, and some of this information was likely stolen from them due to a vulnerability in third-party software used by the former business partner. This, in not Ascension's, I think I meant to put, this was not Ascension's first encounter with breaches. Although I don't remember if, actually, now that I'm looking at this again, I don't believe I wrote this. I think this is part of the initial write-up. So I'll read it as it is, because this is not my writing. I would have caught this myself. This, in not Ascension's first encounter with breaches, a May 2024 ransomware attack prompted the company to notify 5.4 million people that their data had been compromised. And before I read the editor stuff, I will tell you that we did cover that particular ordeal. This, I think, may be the first time I'm hearing about this. But then again, maybe we did cover this on the blog. You could search it out. Ascension. I believe is how this one's spelled. I'd have to look. Now, according to Editor Neely, Clio was used with this app being compromised by Clop Zero. So, Clop, which is CL0P, clearly eBay, as a side note, writes this differently than we would have seen it in UEB. I prefer eBay, to be honest. Just a side note, but yes, Clop was involved in that, and we covered that in the past. Also, the question is why the former partner was still receiving data. And I left it as a question mark. And I paraphrased that one. And I must say that these companies don't seem to learn a whole lot, do they? I really hope that Ascension can get it together and figure this out so that while this is only the second breach in, you know, a year, I don't really want them to be another T-Mobile. And this is me talking right now. This isn't me reading. I'm actually talking to you now. We know that T-Mobile has had numerous breaches in as many years. And I just hope that this isn't going to be another company turning into a T-Mobile. It's all right to have a mistake happen which leads to a breach. I get it. Mistakes happen. That's just the way we live these days. The problem I've got is that T-Mobile seems to not have learned anything, and neither has some of these other companies that have been breached in recent times, although some of them, if you hear different news items about them, are completely different situations. They're not all the same. So you can't completely blame those companies, especially when you find out that they are different situations. Tech companies publish draft open EOX framework. A group of technology vendors has published a draft framework for a standard companies can use to announce end of support for their products. Open EOX categorizes a product's life cycle into general availability, GA, end of sale, EOS, and by the way, that's capital E, lower O, capital S, end of security support, EOSSEC, and end of life, as we know, is EOL. And by the way, the end of sales is EOS, as I said. End of security support, EO, and then capital SS, and then lower EC. Okay. EOL is the capital E, lower L, capital L. And we know about end of life, and we know that end of support for Windows 10 will be this coming October, and at least several of us are looking not to move unless we have no other choice. Continuing to read from the text from Sands, it says, the document, which was published through the Organization for the Advancement of Structured Information Standards, OASIS, notes that currently information about end-of-life, EOL, end-of-security support, EOSSEC, and other states for software, hardware, services, and specifications is often fragmented and inconsistently defined across the industry. The project's core objectives are transparency, efficiency, and unification. And I honestly say this is great news. I think if this can become more widely adopted, where it is clearly stated what is going on, then all of us will know. And it's not going to be end of life for Windows 10. It's just going to be the end of the support cycle. And I know my computer told me that I can upgrade to 11, but I can barely hang on to 10 and keep my disk space. I don't know what's eating up my disk space, but it's been happening a lot more now, and it's causing me some issues. So not exactly sure what's happening here, folks. Want to contact me? Please feel free to email tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975 or go ahead and call the comment line at 888-405-7524 and leave your comments. If you need a callback, we will be happy to call you back. The rest of the week's news. ICO will not investigate British Library's 2023 ransomware attack. The UK Information Commissioner's Office, ICO, will not investigate a 2023 ransomware attack that distributed the British Library's operations for months. And it disrupted it. It didn't distribute it. Excuse me. The library reported the subsequent the incident to ICO in October 2023 and subsequently published a detailed review of the incident in March 2024. The likely point of entry was determined to be a server that was not protected with multi-factor authentication, MFA. In a recent statement, the ICO writes that further investigation would not be the most effective use of their resources. The decision is indicative of a government stance that avoids imposing penalties on organizations responding to ransomware attacks with best practices. The ICO writes that they commend the British Library for being open and transparent about its system vulnerabilities that contributed to the incident, the impact it has had, and the improvements made so far to protect people's personal information. And from what I could gather from the comments, all of them state that this is good for them not to investigate and then find the library is great. The library did the best they could under the circumstances, and unfortunately, it wasn't the best circumstance, but with the way we're going these days, it's not looking good. And if you get that type of report that says, we've done the best we could under the circumstance by keeping everybody up to date, then, for all intents and purposes, the issue should be dropped because there's nothing to find me for. I've been open and transparent. And one of the other comments that I was seeing that I didn't bother to put into the newsletter here, because I knew that I'd probably remember it, even after all this time dealing with other things, I will say that the comment basically is that as long as you follow this type of playbook and keep people informed, you may have the best outcome possible. In short. By the way, all of this commentary that I'm not reading word for word or that I've paraphrased is in the newsletter whose link is available in our show notes. And you can find the show notes also on our blog at jaredtech.help after the podcast has been released. Let's move now on to Apple and Apple AirPlay devices vulnerable to zero-click RCE. And RCE is not necessarily a good thing. They are basically a problem. All right, so that's what we can tell you about RCEs. Every time you hear about RCEs, they're not good. Onkyo Security has published a blog post describing their discovery of 23 vulnerabilities in the Apple AirPlay Software Development Kit, SDK, and AirPlay Protocol. Onkyo emphasized the enormous number of potentially vulnerable devices as their flaws affect iOS, iPadOS, macOS, Sequoia, Sonoma, and Ventura, VisionOS, WatchOS, tvOS, and CarPlay, as well as tens of millions of third-party devices that leverage the AirPlay SDK, such as speakers. Attackers could exploit these vulnerabilities to carry out attacks via shared wireless networks or peer-to-peer connections. Two of the flaws are wormable zero-click RCE exploits that could allow attackers to deploy malware that spreads to devices on any local network the infected device connects to. Possible attacks enabled by these flaws include remote code execution, RCE. And by the way, that's what this stands for. You don't want that. Access control list, ACL, and user interaction bypass, local arbitrary file read, sensitive information disclosure, man in the middle, MITM, attacks, and denial of service, DOS, attacks. And you don't want that either. The researchers have dubbed the collection of chainable flaws and attack vectors airborne. And this was talked about on a recent Security Now, I believe. I just don't remember what its number is. But you could search airborne. It's spelled AIRBORNE and then plus GRC.com into your favorite search engine, and it should bring up that information for you. Users are urged to update all devices to the latest software versions. Onkyo also recommends disabling AirPlay receiver, restricting AirPlay access via firewall rules, and restricting AirPlay settings to only allow AirPlay for current user. Neely writes, Apple released fixes for Airborne in iOS/iPadOS 18.4, macOS 13.7.5, 14.7.5, and 14.5, VisionOS 2.4, and WatchOS 11.4. Make sure that your devices are running these versions or newer. Okay? That's the tip of what I want read. The rest of this is probably good information that I'm going to read you. And this is why I think if it's appropriate to put in what the editors have to say, we're going to do it because I can't remember everything, especially once I read it, and then it could be several hours after the fact that I record it. Setting AirPlay to current user restricts access to devices logged into the same Apple account. If you're not using AirPlay receiver, turn it off. Make sure your IoT devices run current firmware and consider monitoring, limiting use of AirPlay port 7000 on your network. Document this decision so you don't have a reoccurring agenda item. Dukes wrote that while Apple did their part, others should too, and everyone should update as well. And I paraphrased those comments. Oh boy, here we go with Windows Remote Desktop again. And this is probably one reason why I probably would rather use something like JAWS Tandem or NVDA Remote instead of RDP. Windows Remote Desktop Protocol is designed to accept old passwords. I could just see Steve reading this newsletter, and it could be part of security now, and he could probably say, what could possibly go wrong? Sands writes, Microsoft informed Daniel Wade, an independent security researcher, that he is not the first to express alarm that Windows Remote Desktop Protocol, RDP, allows logins using revoked passwords, an issue which Wade says isn't just a bug, it's a trust breakdown, because users expect a password change to curb unauthorized access. Wade's report states that even newer passwords may be ignored while older ones continue to function, bypassing cloud verification, MFA, and conditional access policies to allow persistent RDP access. Like I said, what could possibly go wrong with this picture? Seriously. All right. Microsoft has been aware of the issue since 2023 and does not consider it a vulnerability, claiming it is a design decision to ensure that at least one user account always has the ability to log in no matter how long a system has been offline. After RDP authenticates a user's first login online, the credential is then stored locally in an encrypted format that used to validate future logins. If a user changes their Microsoft or Azure password in the cloud, the cached encrypted local credential is not updated or removed, so the old password will still grant access to the machine. Will Dorman, whose name is familiar to me from somewhere, and I don't know where, but he is a senior vulnerability analyst at Analogance, believes that Microsoft's updated documentation notifying users of password caching is not adequate, and he notes that if a Microsoft or Azure account is compromised, the only course of action is to configure RDP to authenticate against locally stored credentials only. Oh, Microsoft, Microsoft, Microsoft. OMG. I'm glad that I don't use RDP. I'll tell you that much. Wow. I wonder what happens if you change your password on your machine. CISA adds flaws to Kev from Broadcom, Brocade, Fabric OS, Qualita Active Mail, and Commvault Web Servers. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has added three vulnerabilities to the known exploited vulnerabilities KEV catalog, one each affecting Broadcom, Brocade Fabric OS, Qualidia Active Mail clients, and Commvault Web Servers. And I think I better just spell this because I'm not sure I'm... this is Qualitia. I think I've been pronouncing it wrong until now. Qualidia. All right. CVE 2025-1976, CVSS score 8.6, patched in Brocade Fabric OS 9.1.1D7, allows an attacker with admin privileges to execute arbitrary code as if they had full root level access, potentially executing existing commands or modifying the OS itself due to a flaw in IP address validation. CVE 2025-42599, CVSS score 9.8, fixed in Qualidia Active Mail 6, build info 6.60.0608562, allows a remote unauthenticated attacker to execute arbitrary code or create denial of service DOS condition by sending a specifically crafted request due to a stack-based buffer overflow vulnerability. CVE 2025-3928 CVS S score 8.7 fixed in Commvault software versions 11.36.46, 11.32.89, 11.28.141, and 11.20.217 for Windows and Linux allows a remote unauthenticated attacker to compromise web servers by creating and executing web shells due to an unspecified vulnerability. Commvault disclosed the zero-day exploitation in a March 7th, 2025 advisory stating that the attacker was a sophisticated nation-state threat actor, following up on April 27th, 2025 to add that they are working with affected customers and there has been no unauthorized access to customer backup data that Commvault stores and protects, and no material impact on our business operations or our ability to deliver products and services. The update shares best practices and indicators of compromise, IOCs, and states that Commvault is working with the FBI and CISA while improving key rotation and monitoring rules. And that, I think, is the best thing we can expect out of this. These 7s, 8s, and 9s on the CVSS score mean that it's very easy to deal. You got 1s, 2s, and 3s. You know, you actually have to work at it. These bugs are fixed, but if I remember the scale right, the higher the number, the easier it is. Older Sonic Wall vulnerabilities are being actively exploited. Well, that's nothing new, especially if you haven't patched. Sonic Wall has updated two security advisories, one from 2024 and another from 2023, to indicate that the vulnerabilities they address are now being actively exploited. Both advisories address multiple vulnerabilities in SonicWall SMA100 SSL VPN. The flaw from 2024 advisory CVE 2024-38475 that is being exploited is a critical path traversal vulnerability that allows an attacker to map URLs to give system locations that are permitted to be served by the server. And what could possibly go wrong? The flaw from the 2023 advisory, CVE 2023-44221, that is being exploited is a high severity post authentication OS command injection vulnerability that allows a remote authenticated attacker with administrative privilege to inject arbitrary commands as a nobody user. Really? This is the first time I've heard of this. When I was reading this in the newsletter, I'm like, really? A nobody user? What's that? My user is named. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, added CVE 2023-44221 to the known exploited vulnerabilities CAV catalog on May 1st with a mitigation due date of May 22nd. And that'll be here before you know it. The recording date is the 4th. This podcast will either be released later on the 5th or the 6th. We have episode 12 being released on the 5th, so that we're not releasing over the weekend. And so we'll either release it later on the 5th, or we will release it on sometime on the 6th. So if you're hearing this between the release date and the 22nd, it is best that you make sure you get these updated. Now, if I remember correctly, this is the last story. Two more British retailers targeted by attempted cyber attacks. Following close on the heels of a cyber attack that has disrupted operations at British retail Marks and Spencer, both the Co-op and Harrods have reported being targeted by cyber attacks. On Wednesday, April 30th, the Co-op shut down portions of their IT systems after they detected an attempted intrusion disrupting the company's back office and call center. On Thursday, May 1st, just this past recent Thursday, Harrods reported that they recently experienced attempts to gain unauthorized access to some of their systems, and they have restricted internet access at their sites. These attacks come days after Marks and Spencer experienced an attack that has caused them to temporarily shut down operations of their online stores. And according to what I've read, and by the way, that isn't the last story, so we will move on in a moment. What I was reading was that, you know, while they're doing the best they can, you know, they're also being transparent too. And they actually are competitors, both of them, to Marks and Spencer as well. All right, I know we're getting close to the end here. Chrome and Firefox updates address multiple vulnerabilities. Google and Mozilla have released updates for their Chrome and Firefox browsers to address multiple vulnerabilities. Google revealed Chrome 136 to the Stable Channel. The newest version of Chrome addresses 8 vulnerabilities, 4 of which were brought to Google's attention by external researchers. Of those, one is rated high severity, the other 3 are rated medium and low severity. Mozilla released Firefox 138, which addressed 11 vulnerabilities, 4 for which are rated high severity, And one of the comments that I did read was that I need to set a reminder to make sure all of my stuff is updated. I tell you what, I close my browser every time I'm done with it. And when it needs updating and I launch it again, it goes and does it. And that is the last story of the day. The editorial board of Sans News Bites. Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elgi, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spencer, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vatronaut, William Hugh Murray, Sands Institute, 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. The newsletter is a twice weekly release on Tuesdays and Fridays, and we will be releasing these somewhere between Thursday for the Tuesday episode and Monday for the Friday episode. And if I end up being behind because of what I'm involved in, then we will release the Tuesday episode as quickly as we can. We will try not to release episodes on the weekend to allow people time to catch up on other podcasts that might be of value. Let me quickly give you contact information and I will say goodbye. Email, iMessage, tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. Or you may call the comment line at 888-405-7524. Until next time, my name is Jared Reimer, and I'll see you on another edition of the podcast. And until then, thanks so much for listening. Make it a great day.